Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
So please pray with me. Father God, we come before you this morning. And Lord, there is nothing we could ever do for you as you did for us. Lord, you were obedient. And when you said finished, there was nothing else for us to do. Mission complete. Mission complete. Lord, you opened a doorway, Lord, and your word says that through Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. And Lord, you made a way for us. So this morning, Lord, we come before you. We want to just praise you, worship you, lift you up, Lord. You have risen this day. He has risen. So when the worship music starts right now, just give it all you got. Let's do it.
Well, I'm going to start crying. But we have so much to be thankful to God for. And it's not just this one day. It's 365 days a year. And, you know, we kind of make it nonchalant that he went to the cross and died and then resurrected. There's so much more to it than that. So, you know, on Friday, he had 40 stripes given to him. They said any man that had 40 stripes would die. And that's what we're healed by. By his stripes we're healed. And he was a man when he went on that cross. Not God. He was a man. And it's just like us. We have to emulate Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So there's so much unforgiveness in the church. And I suggest anyone who has any unforgiveness towards anyone for any reason to let it go and forgive them. And so the Bible says that he was unrecognizable as a human being. And we don't ever think of that. We just think of him dying on the cross. And he did that for us. And he didn't even have to go to the cross. He didn't have to do that for us. So if we really love the Lord and we say we're Christians, we need to follow through with that and forgive others and to accept the healing that he gave to us on the cross by his stripes and not to sin and to be well. He said it's finished on the cross. It's finished. So we don't have to do anything. And I got this from I don't even know who it was anymore. But it says, when we do the works ourselves, God rests. When we rest in God, God works. And we have to learn to rest in God. And just realize that everything is completed. We don't have to strive and work for our salvation and work for that. We just have to do what God tells us to do. And be obedient to his voice. And that's what Jesus did. As a man, he was sinless. And as a man, he went to God every day, his Father, to get direction into whatever he talked to God, the Father. But he said he didn't do anything unless God, his Father, told him to do it. And we have to get to that point where we just let God be God in our lives and quit living our own lives and live our lives that God has created us to be. He destined us to be great, to do things greater than Jesus did. And that's not in our works, but that's in God's works. So thanks for putting up with my crying.
We love you, Steve.
Yeah. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to, I had a, you know, looking back at Jesus' life and everything was done for us, and, you know, just the fact that he was born in the town of Bethlehem is big. I mean, what does that name mean? It can be house of bread, men. So he was the bread of life. Amen. How appropriate. It also can mean house of meat. That the word was flesh, right? The word became flesh, right? So, I mean, it's awesome. And then if you go a little bit further and you see where he was born, right, in a cave or in a stable. And this part's pretty cool, because where did the sacrifice come from? It didn't come from the inn. But it came from the stable. Man, I think that was pretty cool. Just a good thing to remember what was done for us on this Resurrection Sunday.
I do have a poem, but I do want to praise the Lord for how he healed me miraculously many, many years ago. Because when I was 10, my dad died on Easter Sunday, and it broke my heart. He was my idol, and I just lost everything at that time. I blamed God for it for a long time, but he came after me, and he made sure my heart was healed. He gave me dreams. And he restored my faith in him. He took that burden away. He gave me a dream that my dad was in a nursing home, and I went to visit him and to ask who he was and about his family tree. And he told me who he was, and I kept waking up from that dream and saying, "You're my dad." And I'd wake up, and I finally asked God to reveal what that was, what's going on. And the last dream I had that healed me from all that pain was he said, "Yes, I'm your dad, but you have to go on. You have to live your life." And when I woke up, I had so much peace, and I understood what Easter was about again, because it just broke my heart in the beginning, but he lifted that burden from my back and healed me. So I just want to praise God for that day of healing. And this is the poem I wrote this morning. Why are you living in shackles? Our Jesus came to save. He placed all our sins upon the cross and died to help us live again, to be unchained from burdens carried deep within. He knows all your troubles. Lay them down at his feet. Wipe away your tears. Don't live in total defeat. Don't hold on to sorrow. Reach out to Jesus. He knows your tomorrows. He can handle all your pain. Leave your cares with Jesus. Then you can live again. He died once, so we are forgiven. Remember, he came to save. Don't exist in shackles. Hold on to Jesus. He mastered the grave.
Times of trouble, when anything's happening in our lives, the high
given to you. Regardless of where you're at in your life, what you're doing, if things are right or not right, whatever it is, grace has already been given to you that you might be able to come to Him whenever. And so often we go through things in our lives and those things to us look like trouble. Why did I go through this? Why did you put me here? Why did you bring me here? Why didn't you give me what I was asking for? Why didn't you provide in the places I needed you to provide? And so often we're asking the wrong question because all we gotta do is look to Him and know that He's already provided. He's already given everything we need. He's already defeated death. He's already given healing. He's already paid a price for you that you might
you, but I sense resurrection power in the building. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can be seated if you can. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Straighten out my... Thank you, worship team. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. To God. How many know He's alive? How many know He's alive? Come on, man. Hallelujah. I remember walking up in the front of a tent meeting, didn't know the Lord, and a friend of mine had told me, hey, man, just go up there. Ask Him to touch your eye. He'll touch your eye. Lord's still working on my eye. But anyway, He said, go on up there. They'll touch your eye. God will touch your eye. So when I went up there, I pulled my glasses off and the evangelist came in front of me and said, what can I do for you? I said, well, let me just, he said, instead of, I was going to tell him, hey, I need the Lord to touch my eye. I took my glasses off. And instead of saying that, I said, if God is real, I want to know it. I mean, say amen. He smiled at me, took my glasses out of my hand, put them in my pocket. And I saw His hand go up, and before He even touched me, I felt this, I was out. And, you know, and I never was, I was more of a critic about people that did that kind of stuff. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You say, oh, yeah, look at them. They're falling down. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see that stuff. You know, and I was kind of a critic before that. But this was real, folks. Oh, it's real. It's real. I know it's real. It was real. And I got up about, it was almost 40 minutes later. How much? 20 minutes later, Rosie says. 20 minutes later. And something touched me. I was a little upset because I was laying out in front of everybody. And when I woke up, he told me, he goes, hey, you're back. And I just looked at him. I know I gave him a dirty look. Anybody giving dirty looks in it? Nobody in here has ever given dirty looks in that. And never. And I went and sat down. And I went back and I told Rosie, well, it's different. Rosie had gotten touched that evening too. And my friend asked me a few days later, hey, you want to go another service? And I was really kind of scared. Anybody know? I mean, sometimes when you come to the Lord, you get a little, I don't know what it was. But I said, you know what? Let me ask my wife. And I said, she's not going to want to go back. I asked Rosie, hey, you want to go back? Lee wants to know if you want to go back to church. She goes, yes. I go, what? You kidding me? So we went back, and this time it was in a regular church building. And I was sitting on, if you walked in the back, I was on the left-hand side. It was a lot of pews. Only two sections of pews, but they had a main aisle, two small aisles. And we were sitting about halfway back on the left side. And he started preaching. And he just kind of like that, you stand up. And you know, like, you know, most of the folks went like, huh, who are you pointing at? You know, not me. I go, I knew who he was talking to. For some reason, I stood to my feet. Yeah. And he says, come down here. So I scooted across. There were some people, excuse me. Went down the aisle. Got about, I would say about 10, 15 feet away from him. And he put his hand up and I was down again. I mean, it just happened that quick. And my brother Lee told me, he says, well, I woke up and there's a guy looking over the edge of the pew and he goes, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. God showed me exactly what I asked for. If God's real, I want to know it. Can I tell you folks, he's real. I don't even say, yeah, he's real. A lot of you had similar experiences, man. And I know that God is able to touch anyone at any time and deliver anyone at any time of anything. How many say amen to that? That's just who he is. If you just open your heart to him, he'll deliver you. He'll set you free. He'll make you free, Brother Terry. Is that right? Hallelujah. He will make you free. Hallelujah. If you'll trust him. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go into that. Let's go into the story, the account of the resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 11, if you will. I'm going to ask the Lord to help. How many say amen?
Amen.
Best prayer. Somebody was saying in here, man, I don't know how to pray. Yeah. The best prayer you can pray is, God, help me. Amen.
Help.
I need help. And so I'm going to pray, Lord, ask you, Lord, that you would just help me to speak today. To say what you've given me to say, Father God, what you spoke in my ears. Lord, let me deliver that with the skill that only comes from you, Father. Without you, Father, we can do nothing, is what you've said. And that's so true. That's the truth. So, Lord, but with you, we can do all things through you who strengthens us. So, Lord, I pray that not only touch my lips to speak, but you would touch every heart, every ear to hear, Lord, what you're saying to the church this morning. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Resurrection morning. How many of you know this is the day the Lord has made? I will rejoice and be glad in it. How many of you know that? The day of the Lord is not so much a day as far as we count as a day. The day of the Lord is every day. Can I say that to you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You have entered into his rest, and every day is a day of rest for you. Do you know that? You don't have to work hard to get God to love you. Amen. He already loves you. Amen. Come on, man. So, hallelujah. Ooh, I got to go. All right, here it is. John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick. I'm in the wrong place. Luke 24 is where I should be. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's that one eye guy. If you think I'm winking at you, I'm not. Okay? This. I promised I told Rosie I wouldn't say this, but I'm going to say she hits hard. Oh, man. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. I had a surgery last Thursday, and if I open my eye, there's stitches in my eye. So if I open my eye, it feels like a cat crawling out. You know what I'm saying? And then like, yeah. So and then immediately it starts to tear up. So trying to keep it closed. If I start crying on you, you'll know why. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay. Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 1, says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone was rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed throughout thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said to them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is what? Risen. Come on, folks. Yeah. Help me out. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things to the apostles." I don't know if I like verse 11, but here's what, "And their words seemed to be as idle tales." Isn't that crazy? "And they believed them not. And then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. That's about 7.5 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said to them, What manner of communications are these which you have one to another as you walk and are so sad?" Jesus says, "Why are you so sad?" Amen. Why are you so sad? Jesus ever asked you that? God ever asked you that? Why are you so sad? Anybody ever getting sad? I mean, come on. Anybody ever gotten sad? The Lord might be saying to you, "Why are you so sad? Why are you so sad?" And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and has not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And Jesus said to him, "What things?" He's incognito, so he's got to act like he don't know nothing. Amen? "What things?" "And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yeah, certain women of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said. But him they saw not. Then said he to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Isn't that cool? How would you like Jesus expounding to you? Amen. You might not know this, but he's already doing it to you. It's him showing you the word. Do you know that? It's him that reveals his word to you. Do you know that? By his Holy Spirit. Expounds things to you. Amen? Say, Lord, expound things to me. Say that. Expound things to me. And they drew nigh to the village whither they were going. And he said, and he made as though he would have gone a little further. Here's Jesus still kind of acting like he's not. I don't know. I've been looking at this a little bit, why Jesus kind of acts like he would have gone further. But they asked him to come in. There's another place in the scriptures where he's walking on the water. Do you remember that? And he acts like he's going to keep on walking. And they ask him into the boat. And one of the things I get out of it is that, you know, you got to ask him. You got to ask. Is that right? When you're talking to him, you got to ask him. Ask things of him. But he acted as he would walk on by. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass that as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? Ooh, I know that feeling. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they'd seen a spirit. Can I say to you that these folks, these guys, all those people were there, they saw him die on the cross. Amen? Amen. So some of these things can be hard to look at. Is that right? It can be hard to understand. Is that right? How many know sometimes God is difficult to understand, but then at the same time, there's a simplicity in it. Do you know that? But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they'd seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do these thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as I have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, he wondered. And he said unto them, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Amen?
Amen.
But tarry here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. How do you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So praise God. Beautiful story. Amen. Beautiful about how Jesus rose from the dead. And how he how he walked with these two from Emmaus. I believe that those two were heading out of town, but Jesus wanted to get his disciples together for 50 days later, which would be called the day of Pentecost. So yeah, I think he turned them around and got them back into town. And then he spooked a whole bunch of them. Amen?
Amen.
As he got in, he walked in, man. He goes, whoa, they got afraid. They were afraid. Is that right? Yeah. They thought they had seen a spirit. And he says, hey, no, look, man. He says, yeah, look, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I do. Walks in. And the Bible says that they still, they didn't have any joy at first. They were still in this kind of a shock position. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And he says, hey, you know what? Do you have anything to eat? Yeah. So they gave him some fish and a piece of honey, and he ate it before them. And I think that might have helped loosen them up. Have you say amen to that? Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'd act that same way, but probably, I don't know. You know, it surprises me that how they kind of did not remember what Jesus had been telling them. Is that, I mean, seems like if they would have had their journals, they would have had them out. All the apostles would have had their journals out and say, hey, man, 3 days. He said 3 days. Amen. Watch these scriptures. Look at these scriptures. Jesus was talking to them. John chapter 20, verse 9 says this. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They didn't know it, even though he had said it to them. Because here's where Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. This is what he said. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem, and after many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, then be killed and be raised again on how many days? Third day. Amen? He was talking to them about it. Matthew chapter 17, verse 22 says this, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and 23, I think. And they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. How many days?
Three.
The third day. Is that right? They should have known. It seemed like they would have known. See, this is why the word of God, Jesus told them, pay attention to what you hear. Take heed how you hear. How many know that's still good? Pay attention to what God is saying. Listen, listen, listen. How many? Where's Linda? Yeah. Remember that? Did you guys ever see that little thing where a little boy, the mom is trying to chew him out about something, and he's going, listen, Linda, listen, listen, Linda, listen. See, God wants us to hear. How many say amen? Jesus had told them in 3 days. 3 days. Mark chapter 10, verses 32 and 34. You're going to see here that they were afraid a little bit. They were afraid to go back to Jerusalem with Jesus, because they knew that the Pharisees and the scribes were against them. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. They were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen to them, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered to the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he'll rise again. Yet when it happened, they were like, man, they couldn't remember anything. I think just the shock of just seeing what Jesus, what happened, what he went through, I think it just kind of faded everything out. They thought he was going to be the king of Israel. How many say amen? How many know he is the king of Israel? But he had a purpose, because God had a plan. Is that right? His purpose and his plan. So the significance of the resurrection. I remember talk. I remember asking the Lord, so, okay, I get it, Lord, you died for our sins, but what really does the resurrection play in our life? How many of you know that Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus was the first fruits. Do you know what that means? The children of Israel, whenever their fig trees or their whatever they were growing, the first ripe fruit, they would pluck it off and they would take it and they dedicate it in the temple. It was the first fruits. It was a command that they had. It was representative of all the fruit that was going to be coming. Is that okay? That's what Jesus was. He was the first fruit. Y'all are all the fruit of what's coming. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, man. Same fruit, same place, same because of who Jesus is. So what did the resurrection play? You know, it's important to believe God. How many say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, the scripture says they that come to God, right, must believe that what? He what? He is. It's kind of the New Testament word for I am. In the Old Testament, Moses told God, God, okay, if I go to the children of Israel, who do I say sent me? And God said, you tell them that I am sent you. I am. Okay.
Amen.
New Testament, he that comes to God must know, must believe that he is.
Yes.
He is what? He is everything. What do you need? He is. Amen?
Amen.
He is your provider. He is your healer. He is your banner. He's your righteousness. He is everything to you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
God is everything to you.
Yes.
So you've got to believe God. So I want to look a little bit at Abraham. By faith, Abraham was the father of us all. Is that right? Do you know that?
Amen.
We are the seed of who?
Abraham.
Abraham. Amen? Why? Because by faith he believed God. Is that right? God had showed him in a vision when he was 100 years old and Sarah was maybe 90. Fine looking chick. Amen? She was 90 years old and God shows him a vision and he goes, let me go on and look at the stars. That's the way your descendants will be. Count them. How many know probably it was a pretty dark night? Not a lot of street lights over there. You can count all night long if you want. 1,2,3,400,000, and you're still not all this over here yet, man. I don't know. So, but anyway, and he told him, go to the sand that's next to the sea and count all those grains. That's the way your seed's going to be. Woo!
No.
And the Bible says that Abraham believed God when he told him that. Yet, as he was 100 years old, right? Being 100 years old, and the scripture says the deadness of Sarah's womb, he believed him. Okay, I believe you. And the Bible says that he counted it to him as righteousness.
Yes.
He's a father of faith. How many say? Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 4:17 through 25, I want you to hear this. As it is written, talking about Abraham, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. This is a good scripture, folks. God calls things that are not as though they were. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, everybody say fully persuaded. Are you fully persuaded that God has got his hand on you? No matter what. No matter what you go through, no matter if it's good or bad, whatever you think is good or bad, that he's got his hand on you. Are you fully persuaded?
Yes.
It's important that you're fully persuaded. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he also was able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Why? Because he believed God, being fully persuaded. Yes. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but it was written for who? Yeah, two or three of you saying us. Who was it made for? Who was it imputed? It was for us. It was written for us. To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Do you believe God raised him from the dead?
Yeah.
Almost everybody in here will say, yeah. And here's the answer to my question. He was delivered for our offenses.
Yes.
And raised for our justification. That's why he raised him from the dead. So that you could be justified.
Amen.
Well, okay. I'm not sure if I understand what justified means. I'm going to give you, this is just a regular dictionary. I didn't look it up in the Greek or the Hebrew. And here's the translation here's the dictionary for justified, justification, the act of declaring or making righteous in the sight of God. That's in the dictionary. The act of declaring or making righteous. You see, God has declared you righteous. Do you know that? Yeah. Come on, man. He has declared you to be righteous. Even though you might have these little side trips you might take. How many say, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Anybody ever gone on a side trip? Did not look like the kingdom at all, did it?
No.
Doesn't smell like the kingdom. Doesn't taste like the kingdom. Is that right? Doesn't look like the kingdom. Is that right? So it's probably what? Not the kingdom. Is that right? We've all gone on those little trips. But you see, God still declares us righteous. Do you say that? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, man. For your justification, he is justifying you. If you believe. If you believe. Because in believing that he's justified you, he's doing something to you. He is bringing you into an alignment with his purpose for your life. Do you know that? It's no longer you, amen, but it's him. Is that right? I'm going to give you these scriptures. If you believe. Yeah. I jumped ahead on myself. I'm going to go to John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Because it's important that you understand that he justified you, but the reason he justified you is because he loves you. And he has his best for you. But when Jesus was heading to Lazarus's tomb, and he's talking to Martha, and Martha tells him, Jesus told her, hey, your brother's going to rise again. She goes, yeah, I know. She's pretty much probably shocked by the fact that her brother had died and Jesus hadn't been there. Because both the sisters said when Jesus got to them, said, if you'd been here, you wouldn't have died. And Jesus tells her, well, your brother will rise again. And Martha tells him, yeah, in the resurrection. Yeah, I know, in the resurrection, he's going to rise again. And then Jesus stops her and he says this to him, Martha. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. See, that's a good statement. How many say amen to that? It's just not, we just don't celebrate the resurrection. Folks, Jesus is the resurrection. That's who he is. This is another one of his names. I am the resurrection. Can you say amen to that? I am the one that rose from the dead. Amen? I took your sins. I paid for them. 3 days. Scripture said that God would not allow his body to see any type of corruption. 3 days. I am the resurrection, he declared, and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And here's a part a lot of folks have problems with. But yeah, folks, I mean, no matter what God tells you, what he says to you, you got to believe it. How many say amen to that? This is the place where you find a focus. Do I believe God or I just believe what's going on around me? You got to quit believing the things that are going on around you and start believing God in everything. And here's what he says here. And folks, I get called on the carpet for this a lot, and that's okay. It's what I believe. It's what God has showed me. And he says this, whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? How many believe that? And he's not just talking about your spirit and your soul. He's talking about the body you're walking in. You go, what? Yeah. Because he created Adam, spirit, soul, and body. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
You got to know that what he's talking about is a redemption that covers everything. Can you say amen? That's why we are coming to a time where the young men, young ladies of God are going to be declaring these things. Look, death can't touch me. Amen. How many know that death can't touch you?
No.
Do you know it? You've got to understand that God, when Jesus came out of that grave, I think he was saying, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? You've got nothing. Amen? Yeah. He's got nothing. Hallelujah. Y'all are looking at me like, boy, you don't think you're going to die? I'm believing it because God's word says it, not because I'm trying to make it up. It's because his word says it, and I'm going to hold on to it. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Stick around. Well, I'm 162 and a half years old. You can say, what do you believe? I believe that Jesus says I don't have to die, man. Why don't you just go ahead and die, you stinky old man? No? God's word. God's word is what I believe. Amen? Hallelujah. There is a generation that's like no other. No other generation that's coming up in the world. God's bringing them in. They are a kingdom generation. The redemption of that Jesus paid for on the cross. Come on. He redeemed everything. He didn't just redeem mankind. He redeemed everything that was lost in the garden. The earth, the universe, everything is redeemed. The world, that's why the scriptures tell us that the earth is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. That's you guys. That's us.
Amen.
Waiting for us. Why? To speak the things that God is saying. It's a piece of cake. If God's not saying anything to you, don't say it. But if he's saying something to you, you better say it. Prophesy into the earth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Some of these things are hard, a little difficult to get a hold of, but that's okay. Stay in God's word. Don't believe me? Go to his word. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you these things, to show you. Hey, is that one-eyed guy right or wrong? I opened my eye and that's now it's starting to... Is that... This is what the word of God says. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says this. Through whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. This is Paul talking to the Colossians, and he's saying something when he says Christ in you. I'm just going to put it in today's, the resurrection in you. Jesus, right? Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Christ in you means the resurrection is in you. Is that right? Every time he shows you a new verse, every time you find another piece of the word of God that he reveals to you, he is resurrecting something within you. He's strengthening, he's touching something that's within you and causing you to walk the way he wants you to walk. Do you know that? He is the resurrection that is abiding in you. Galatians chapter 2:20 says this, I'm crucified with Christ. Let me say amen to that. You died. The minute you gave Jesus your heart, you passed away. We should have held a funeral for all of us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, they're dead. Come on. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Who lives in you?
Christ.
The resurrection. Amen? I am the resurrection and the life.
Yes.
Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen? Hallelujah. Folks, if you've given your heart to the Lord, God drew you in. You're chosen, and you are resurrected for a reason. You see, the resurrection is active within you. It's happening. God is resurrecting you. You know, those scripture talks about, a lot of times we look at these as rapture scriptures, like, and I know before you say it, hey, the word rapture isn't in the Bible. I know. But he talks about where the trumpet of God shall sound, amen? But there's a place in that scripture where it says, it's coming in a twinkling of an eye. In a moment. Is that right? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And at the last trump. Those are different time zones. Those are different times. They're not all together at once. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, and then the last trump takes off. No, it's a moment. You're looking at the Word of God, you're reading the Word of God, and God gives you a moment with His Word, and He reveals something to you. You're talking to somebody, you're out in the street, you're doing something, and God reveals something to you about them, and a twinkling of eye, it's a spark that comes within you, and you realize that God is saying something to you. These are things that are changing you from within. I mean, say amen.
Amen.
God wants you to be changed from within. Do you know that? It's not the outside that looks so pretty, even though all of you look so good on an Easter Sunday morning. Praise God. But it's the inside He's interested in. How many say amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. The inside.
Amen.
He's changing you. You're chosen by Him. You're resurrected for a reason. Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says this. What? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Do you know that? That your body is the temple. You're not your own. Can I say this to you? You died.
Amen.
And Jesus moved in. I say amen.
Amen.
Aren't you glad? Oh, come on, man. Aren't you glad that Jesus came to live with you?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that He exposed Himself to you? Aren't you glad that He's showing you things that you've never seen, never known, but yet He's showing you all things are possible?
Yes.
The resurrection is for your justification. I know that before I met Jesus, I could have said, I'm a man of God. But before I met Him, nope. I had no justification for saying something like that. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The justification wasn't there. But now, it's different. Scripture says in Romans that He raised Him from the dead for your justification. You know that song we sing, I'm no longer slave to sin. You remember that song?
Yep.
I am a what? Child of God. Oh, I'm no longer slave to sin. I'm a child of God. Why could you say that without lying? Because He justified you to say it. Is that right?
Amen.
You're justified by Him to say that. How many say amen? Okay, check this out.
Amen.
How many are a friend of God? I'm going to ask you to raise your hands for some. How many are a friend of God? Anybody?
Amen.
How many of you are the apple of His eye? I want to know. Isn't that what He says?
Amen.
You are the apple of His eye. How many of you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? There ought to be hands all over the place here. How many of you have the mind of Christ?
Hallelujah.
Even though we don't act like it, how many say, come on, come on. Sometimes, but you have the mind of Christ. Why? Because He's given it to you. See, you're not lying, you're prophesying.
Hallelujah.
You're not telling things that aren't true. You are justified in saying these things because he said it. He says it about you. How many are healed?
Thank you, Jesus.
Who cares what your kneecap tells you? Amen? Who cares what your right eye tries to tell you? I'm telling my right eye. He talked to my left eye. It'll tell you it's healed. Come on, man. Amen? Who cares? The word says you're justified to say these things. Do you know that? The resurrection justified you.
Yeah.
Woo, come on, man.
Thank you, Lord.
How many are redeemed?
Hallelujah.
Yes, amen. See, the resurrection places something within you. It places a word in your mouth. So when your body does come against you, you just say, hey, wait a minute. His word says, by his stripes I've been healed.
Yes.
When the bill collector comes and says, look, we're gonna just go ahead and tow your car. Is that okay? No, just leave it there. My God says he's going to provide. The provision will be here. I got what? 2 minutes? Okay, he'll be here. Folks, God knows time. He can tell time. His promise is sure. He has promised you, he'll do it. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
The word of God says, call upon me and I will answer. How many know that? So if you call on him, what's he going to do?
Yes,
sir. He's going to answer. Is that right?
Yes.
Some of us just get too excited and too worried. Is that right?
Yeah.
And he tells us never to do that. Just wait. You belong to me is what he says. I have justified you to tell that person, I'm waiting on God. I'm a child of God. I belong to God. I'm not worried about it. I mean, say amen. This will be my last scripture. This is Romans 4:17. We read it earlier. And it gets me so excited just to say this. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Talking to Abraham, our father. We are his seed. And it says that before him, whom he believed, even God. And the word of God says he does what? He quickens the dead. Is that right? Who quickens the dead? God quickens the dead. Is that right? Oh, he that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. If he dwells in you, he dwells in you. Is that right? This is Romans 8. If he that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, if he dwells in you, well, he dwells in you. And the Bible says, and he will quicken your mortal body because he dwells in you. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I'm not singing something just to sing to you. I am telling you the word of God that he will quicken your body. That's his promise to you. He'll quicken your mortal body. He's the one that raises people from the dead. See, I once was dead, but now I'm alive in Christ. How many say amen to that? I've been resurrected. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, you want to see what resurrection looks like? And go like this. Ta-da! Yeah. That's what resurrection looks like. Hallelujah. Because God has done the work. Not you. You can't do... Who almost said it? You can't do nothing.
Amen.
He raised you from the dead. He did it, not you. You think you got to do it. You don't have to do nothing but believe him. And he says, I'll do it for you. Come on, man. What are we doing? Do we believe him or not? Jesus told him, do you believe this? Yes, Lord. He quickens the dead. And then he says, he calls those things that are not as though they were. Why does he do that? Because he knows the end. He knows where he's taking you. He knows the beginning from the end. He says he calls those that are not, even though... He said he calls those things which be not as though they were. Look at your neighbor and say, I am.
I am.
A son of God. And ladies, you can say son. Is that right? Is that okay? Yeah, you're going to say, well, no, I want to say daughter of God. Yeah, well, you can say that too. But the reason you say that you are a son of God is why? Because the Son of God dwells in you. The power of the Most High, the resurrection power is dwelling within you. Go out and act like it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Act like you own the world. Why? Because you do. The heavens and the earth belong to God. Is that right? Go out and walk and act like you own the place. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't let them tell you anything that's contrary to this kingdom. How many know you're in a good kingdom? How many know everything? We've had a lot of stuff come and go. Is that right? We have trusted in man to do things the way man wants to do it, and now it's over. We're going to trust God. How many say amen to that? The kingdom of God, hallelujah, is in the earth, and it's in resurrection power. It's already within you. Can you imagine that? Imagine that resurrection power is already dwelling within you. It's Jesus. Put your hand to what he tells you to put your hand to and watch the blessing. Amen. Praise God. Brother Abraham, Brother Abe, we call him Abraham. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, everybody. It was good. I just enjoy talking to you on resurrection morning. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mio.
You know, besides what this day is about and what Jesus did for us, it's a special day for me too, because the first time I ever gave a sermon, it was a short sermon. It was only like 15 minutes. I hope it was, because that's what my time limit was. But, you know, it changed everything for me. Just doing what God had, you know, called me to do, led me to do. And, you know, Pastor talked about, are you a friend of God? And, you know, earlier this scripture came up to me. It's John chapter 15. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. It says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. And then it goes on a few verses later. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Just know that for every one of us, we're all chosen. We did say yes to Jesus. We did say yes, we believe in the resurrection. But God chose us first. And I just think that is so amazing. That gift that he gives us. And then it goes on to say, another command I give you is to love one another. So just remember that. That's what this is all about. Just loving one another like God loved us. So if you would, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the gift of your son. Jesus, thank you for your obedience. Thank you for being an example. Thank you for your love. Thank you for letting us be your friends. And thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, thank you for being our counselor, our advocate. God, thank you so much for all you've done for us. Help us, Lord, to make good use of that. Help us to love one another. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.